Scripture reading found in the book of Psalms, chapter 91, verses 14 and 15. That's Psalms, chapter 91, verses 14 and 15. And it says, "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jaron. Appreciate it very much. Very good job. Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody. We began this year in January 2015 with the theme, "Watch and Pray. Jesus is coming again." We were given these black prayer books. How many of you guys still have your book? Do you use it?
At the beginning.
Inside these small memo books, we were supposed to keep our prayer requests, a log or a journal, write down names, our prayers and supplications to Jesus, a list of answered prayers, even a convenient list of unique prayer promises, which would quicken the soul and uplift our soul and our spirit. This year, have your prayer requests been answered? Have all your prayer requests been answered? Have all your needs been provided for?
Yes.
Are some of you still waiting for God's deliverance here in 2015? Are you believing in God's providence for you? Believing in God's providence for your family? Believing in God's providence for your peace of mind? Believing in God's providence for your children? For your grandchildren? Believing in God's providence for good health? Believing in God's providence for your finances, your career, your spouse? Or have you given up? Are any of you slipping silently into that miry clear, are any of you slipping silently into that miry clay of doubt? Or slipping into the weeds of wondering, is God listening? Is God going to ever answer my prayer? Where is God? Does he not see me standing here begging for mercy and begging for deliverance? Or have you fallen down the slope of unbelief and reeling into the ravine of despair and do not know how to stop or to stand on your feet? A good friend of mine who's actively involved actually in all the Christian movies that are going on, that are being released, her and her family in Georgia, told me that the Lord knows how to turn triumph into turn tragedy into triumph. To take you out of the snare of the snarler or the fowler at the right moment, at the right time. Three thousand five hundred and seventy-three. This is the total number of promises written in the Bible, written in God's word. That's approximately 9.78 promises per day, each and every day, for 365 days a year. You rarely will come across the same promise from Genesis to Revelation. If you're searching for reasons to believe, if you're searching for reasons to be thankful this holiday season, if you're wondering if God sincerely cares, let's put down our laptops, our Androids, our cell phones. Let's power them down. Let's disconnect our iPads and our tablets, and let's reconnect to God's word. Regardless of what you or your family may be facing right now, here are a few promises which might provide hope and comfort. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked deep in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. This is taken from Psalms chapter 34, verse 19, the Message Bible. No need to panic over alarm or surprises or predictions that doomsday just around the corner, because God will be right there with you. He'll help you stay safe and sound. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, also from the Message Bible. You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. His generosity is exceedingly even better than yours from the glories that pour from Jesus. Philippians 4:19, the Message Bible. And the King James Bible, I like the way it's put. It says, "By my God shall supply all your needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Have you made mistakes? Have you done things that you regret? Have you done things which are simply wrong? Have you said things that you wish you can take back? Have you spoken words that you realize you should never have rolled off your tongue? Have you gone places that your feet should not have trod? Have you seen things or watched things, images or movies on television that you shouldn't have seen? God says, I, he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, will not remember thy sins. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, King James Version. No test, no temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through. 1 Corinthians 10:13, Message Bible. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to the hairs and the hair on your head will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4, King James Version. I have been carrying you on my back from the day you were born, and I will keep on carrying you when you're old and gray. I've done it, and I will keep on doing it, carrying you on my back to save you. This is the same verse from the Message Bible, Isaiah 46, verse 4. 3,573 promises. Our scripture reading this morning is another one of those promises. Psalms 91, 14 and 15. It says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will deliver him, and I will honor him." Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning. We are asking you to avail yourself during this divine worship hour. Guide us into the truth of your promises. Reveal your character in your words. Transform us into your witnesses. Help us to be like your Son, Jesus Christ, here today. Forgive me of all my sins and iniquities and transgressions. Please develop supremely in my spirit a clean mind and heart. Help me to be transformed by your word to be the best man, best husband, best father, best friend, best Christian I can be. And for all of us, dear God, Jesus, put a hedge around us at this very moment. Let your word be revealed and received unfiltered so that your complete purpose can be found in each and every one of our lives here today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Our message today is taken from the Old Testament. It's taken from the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 17. Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17. You heard the beginning of this story many times. It says that Elijah was on the run. He made this huge proclamation before Ahab that there would be no rain for several years in Israel because of their abominations, false worship, apostasy, and woeful disobedience. Elijah was the proverbial first fugitive. He was on the hunt. He was being hunted. Elijah was sent to Cherith before the Jordan by God. But there, as you read in chapter 17, the brook dried up. Second, God told Elijah to go to Zarephath, where a widow woman would sustain him. Unknown to Elijah, this woman was on her proverbial last leg. Unknown to Elijah, this widow woman had been struggling. Unknown to Elijah, this widow woman had given up hope. She had already decided it's too late for her and her son. When the two met in verse 10, the widow woman was gathering sticks by the city gate to make a fire. Elijah called out to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread into thy hands." Verse 12 says, and I'm reading, "And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." I want you to think of the mindset of this person. I want you to think of the mindset of this lady. She wasn't a suicide bomber. She wasn't going to commit suicide. She wasn't trying to kill anybody. This person had already made up in their mind that this was it. She checked in with Elijah to tell him that I'm checking out. I've had all I can take. I'm checking out. Things are not working out for me. I'm checking out. I have no food. I am checking out. I have no money. I'm checking out. I have no resources. I'm checking out because I've had enough. I'm checking out because my prayer has not been answered. I'm checking out because I'm alone. I'm checking out because I can't do this no more. Now, the Bible does not record how the widow's husband died. It doesn't record that he was a soldier in battle. It doesn't say that he died from a hideous disease or was murdered. The Bible does not record if this woman had any siblings, brothers or sisters. It doesn't record if she had a mother or father who was living. It doesn't record if this woman was kind or mean, whether she was meek or proud. But the Bible does record that she was content to give up the ghost. She was content to cash in her proverbial chips and walk away from the table of life The Bible does not say that she was a prayer warrior, but I do believe that she believed in God. For you see, Elijah spoke truth into her life at the very moment she needed it. He spoke truth into her life where only God's truth could be heard and received. And this truth offered her a promise. Let's read verses 13 through 16. Elijah said to her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son." Here's the promise. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Amen. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken by Elijah. I've read this story many times, but it was one of the first times I read it this week that something dawned on me. Something dawned on me. In the Old Testament, Joseph was in the pit. You remember? And he talked to his cellmates, and he told one of them, "Please remember me when you get out." He didn't give up, even in the pit. Daniel prayed, even though he went to the lion's den with the lions in the den, he never actually gave up. God met him and met him there. Moses prayed when he was on the Mount Sinai, when he first was told you were on holy ground. He said, "Can I see your presence and see your glory?" He never actually gave up, even though he ran away. The impotent widow in the New Testament met Jesus on the street. She found enough strength to reach out to him on the street and touch the hem of his garment. She never actually gave up. God showed me that he can find you no matter where you are. Amen. My parents used to tell me that there's nothing that you can do outside the presence of God. If you dig a hole and put yourself in that hole, somebody will see the hole that you dug and the shovel that you left and see where you are. God can meet you in your depths of despair. He can meet you in your wilderness of worry. He can meet you in your cauldron and caverns of curses. He can meet you when all hope has gone. He can meet you when your worst nightmare is about to happen. He can meet you when everyone has given up on you and cast you aside. God can meet you at your lowest point when you feel worthless. Now, even though this woman was about to write her own obituary, there was an ounce of faith in her heart and mind that recognized God's word. I'm not even sure if she knew who this man was, but he understood the word. She might have never known that this was Elijah who had just made this great proclamation, but she understood the word. She probably said to herself, "Before I breathe my last breath, before I say my last word, before I cook my last meal, I'm going to use the last ounce of faith I have." Let's look up Matthew chapter 17. This is written by God himself. Jesus Christ said this himself. Matthew chapter 17. verses 20. Hope I got the right verse. And 21. If you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for I say unto you, if ye had the faith of what? A grain of a mustard seed. Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. God answered her prayer. She was delivered. And one thing I realized, that God does everything in his own time. I wish I had the magic elixir for my own life. There's prayers I've been praying for a long time. And I'll be the first to say that some of my prayers have yet to be answered. But I do see the breaking of day. I do see light at the end of the tunnel. But I realize that I can't run there quick enough. I am on the wings of faith. Only he can sustain you. Only he can provide that for you. But you have to release that grain of faith, even if it's as small, the grain of a mustard seed. Has anyone ever seen a mustard seed? How big is it? Tiny. I mean, it is maybe a millimeter, maybe. If you blow on it, it's going to blow out your hand. It's like a feather. But God has given each of us an ounce of his imparted faith that has to recognize and reconcile himself to his word inside of our hearts. We have to believe. I can imagine her happiness. I can imagine her joy. From my vantage point, I'm gonna pick on my dear sister for a moment here. When Sister Anissa walked up to the mic, I was like, oh my gracious, in my heart. I whispered to Sister Pam, did you hear me? I said, did you know she was coming? She said, yes, I knew. But Sister Connie did not know. The joy on her face from what I saw is probably how this woman felt. It was sunshine. Despite how bad she feels, it was glory and sunshine. It was the widest smile I've seen on Connie's face in a long time. It was sunshine. Do you understand me? You showed up at the right time. I have to believe God will show up in my life and in your life when needed the most. God answered her prayer. But I am quick to tell you, where blessings come, also comes a test. Even though this dear sister had been tested a long time. Let's read 1 Kings 17 and 18. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. So she said unto Elijah, what I have to do with thee, O man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? I'm going to give you Pedro's version. Why are you messing with me? Didn't I give you some cake when I didn't have it by faith? Why are you messing with me? Why are you bothering my only child? I'm a widow woman by myself. Why are you messing with me? Why are you allowing God to do this? Unlike the first time they met, Elijah didn't have a conversation with her this time. You want to see an angry person? Mess with their kid. Mess with a mother's child. Better lean back. Better lean back. You hear me? He said, please, just give him to me. Please, I'm not going to argue with him. Just give him to me. He said, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up in a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried out unto the Lord. He cried out unto the Lord. Got some stuff in my eye. He cried out unto the Lord. He said, has thou brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He cried out unto the Lord. All of us go through tests and trials. All of us have temptations. A few weeks ago, a dear saint in this church, I'm not going to say who it is, pulled me aside and told me, sometimes you got to cry out to God, Pedro, and tell him what you feel. Don't make it laborious. Just go straight to the point and say, God, you promised this. I'm waiting for you to deliver. You promised this. I'm waiting for you to provide. You promised this. I'm not going to leave you until you bless me. This dear person talked to me in a very loving but a very straightforward way, and I listened to him very carefully because they had years of wisdom and experience. They done been there and done that. They done walked that pilgrim road. And I look at this, and sometimes even the saints, the prophets, got to cry out to God. They can't do it on their own. And if they can't do it, we can't do it either. We got to cry to Jesus and say, please don't let me go. He stretched himself upon the child three times. And he cried unto God and said, oh my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And I look at this. I know sometimes when I pray, I can pray and talk to Jesus a long time. And I have to catch myself, especially if I'm praying in public. But I realize it's not the length of the prayer, it's the sincerity of the prayer. I realize it is the faith that is met with God's promises that cracks open the storehouse of God's goodness. Can I get a witness? And many times, the hardest part is the wait. Is the wait. It is the wait. You see, death comes unto us at the times unexpected. Death comes unto us when we least think it will happen. Even in our church this year, I was reflecting last night when I was writing this sermon, we had three deaths this year. Earlier in the winter, I believe Brother Howard passed. It was late February, early March, if I am correct. Late in the spring, Sister Kenyatta. I saw her. I was joking with her about the hat she was wearing in Sabbath school. When Sister Simmons was teaching Sabbath school class that last Sabbath, she went home on that Sunday and brothers and sisters were trying to contact her and she didn't pick up the phone. She passed. And then this past summer, we had Sister Martha. Sometimes death comes in threes. But unlike today, in our day and age, we have modern medicine to help sustain us. This lady probably didn't have insurance. She didn't have anything but her son. So when God sent the lifeline the first time, God sent the lifeline the second time. Elijah showed up when she didn't have any food. Elijah showed up when her son was laying stricken and dead. And Elijah, in her mindset, all she saw was peril and death. Elijah, in the resonance of his heart, saw life and hope. He saw what she couldn't feel, because all she felt was death. You understand? When you are in a position where you can't help yourself, you need somebody to come there and lift you up. You need that intercessory prayer. That is the connecting power of someone who knows God and has walked with God along the pilgrim's road. You need that person who has had that relationship. And I'll be honest and tell you, it's hard. When you're believing in something and praying for something such a long time, it's hard to have faith. It's hard to maintain. It's hard to hold on. It's hard to cast, not just to cast your burdens, but to believe that your burdens are not going to be lifted up, but your burdens are going to be taken care of. I'd be the first to say I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my wife. Helen has sustained the house of McKnight for years, and I thank God for her. I thank God for the prayers of my mother. Thank God for the prayers of my brother. Even though my brother and I are like oil and water sometimes. I love him. That's all I can say. I love him. Thank you, Sister Pam. She said, that's what matters. He's a fire. That's all I can say. He's a fire. But God realizes that we're close. A friend of mine told me a few days ago, she said, Pedro, she said, the devil is on your trail, and every Christian's trail who's about to cross over. He said he's not going to let you go. Do you feel any time like the devil has you by the coattail? Did you feel like any time that, you know, every time you turn left, he's right there at the corner? Do you ever hear them proverbial footsteps in the back of your ear when you're walking? I was in New York a few days ago. You know, I sent Sister Rachel my sermon. I figured, let me do it early. Let me just get it out the way. Helen calls me. She said, you know what? You forgot to give it a song. I was like, oh, man. No hymnal, no church book. I figured, let me think of a song. I thought of the first thing, but I was busy trying to get to where I need to go. And sometimes you feel things and hear things, and it's from our own fear. I'll be honest with you. Fear and faith operate on the same channel. It is what you believe. If you believe negatively, I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but you do cut off God's conduit to your blessing. Because God cannot show up where fear is located. But when you believe positively, when you believe that there's a blessing, there's an old, I'm going to tell you, I'm old school. Helen always tell me, you're so old fashioned. I'm about to drop some old fashioned. There's an old gospel group, used to be called the Mighty Clouds of Joy. And I'm not sure if you guys ever listened to them, but there's a silver cloud somewhere. There's a silver lining in all of this. I was listening to it on YouTube last night. I like Shirley Caesar. And I was listening to a little bit with Michael before we had worship. But there's an old song that says that there's a silver lining in God's unseamless grace. Well, he will take that string and open it up to allow you to see his glory. And sometimes we have to wait and believe, even though it is pitch black outside. This dear sister who told me to reach out to God and to cry out to God, I sincerely appreciated her. I sincerely do. Because I realize something here. Everything comes by prayer and fasting. Everything comes by prayer and fasting. Jesus came upon this earth at the right time, my brothers and sisters. He came upon this earth at the darkest point of human history. He came upon this earth when all hope was just about gone. He came upon this earth to show that he had power over life and death. He came upon this earth to show that there was nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus. Okay? He came upon this earth to show that it is him and by him alone that we are saved. When we first started our men's group several years ago, we used to end our meeting with what phrase, men? First Trump. We used to end our meeting with this phrase, first Trump. We're at the point now that our life may be called upon us. Now, I've been to New York several times, but this is the first time I've been to New York recently. I saw more police than I normally see. And I mean, more police. It was so much police on the street corners. SWAT teams. I mean, full armor, guns drawn. Assault military rifles. And in some ways, I felt safer, if that makes any sense. I figured, Bill's laughing. I had to wait for the bus, you know? And I was about to stand on one side of the corner. I decided to stand behind the police. The policeman was standing up, the real big guy. I decided to stand right there. He kept on looking over at me. And he looked at me and said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine now. I stood right by him. Because I figured, if anything happened, at least I'm by him. I'm by safety. We need to be like that with Jesus. Instead of running from him, we got to run to him. We got to wait and stand there right by him. Anytime I got lost, I was walking the street. I didn't take the subway that many times. I took him once. I was quick to find a policeman to ask for direction. I wasn't going to ask nobody else, no stranger, because I didn't know him. But if he had a police badge on him, and he was carrying a gun, I hate to say it, I went up to him and said, hey, how do you get there? He had to turn the gun, go that way. We got to run to safety. Not fear God, but have faith in God. Time is just about up on this earth. Time is just about up. And everything that we've been studying and praying about is about to happen. And I can't tell you if I'll see you next week or you'll see me. But I hope and I pray that God will see us all in his kingdom one day. For we have to realize that the next moment or the next hour is not promised. And we have to realize and hope that the next minute and next day will be given to us by God's proverbial grace. I'd like to open up the doors of the church to anyone who's in need, to tell them and to tell you that it's not over. There's no expiration date on God's promises. There's no expiration date on God's word. If God says he will do it, he will do it. Amen. We had a shortfall for a project we were working on. I had an interview in New York. And I will say this. I had someone call me I did not expect and sent some funds to close a transaction that I did not expect. And I remembered my dear sister telling me, you got to cry out to God. And when I started praying, the phone rang. I was at work. My phone rang. What's going on, Dro? How things have gone? I was like, whoa. Hadn't talked to this person in a long time. I'm talking to him. By the way, I heard by a birdie, you know, the little bird, the X, Y, and Z is happening. This is going on. And you know how you had to look at the phone and be like, is this who I think it is? Did not ask for it, but God provided. He's still in the prayer answering business. I'm going to ask you to to please stand on God's promises. I can't tell you when he's going to answer your prayer, but I do believe he will answer your prayer. Run with God, and God will run with you. Amen. Please be with us today and keep us safe in your arms, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Dismiss us, Lord, with blessing we pray, as from thy worship we go our way. Guide in life's conflicts all through the day. Save in thy kingdom, thine be the